put the Father on display. It has to be done in a way that those who don't know you can have a shot at knowing Him. And so we attempt to engage our community at certain levels of involvement so that that light and that hope and that grace and that spirit that actually resides in you. Sometimes you don't realize how bright you shine until you're somewhere out in the darkness. Because when you bring all your candles in here together, it's pretty brilliant, and there's so much light you can't tell which part is yours. And so we try to do things that put us in a place where we have the opportunity to let the grace that attends us encourage and affect the lives of others. For instance, you guys have been hearing about this Project Warm thing. What does that mean? It means that we go out into a particular environ where those who don't have your hope, who don't have your community, who don't share your faith, those who may be disenfranchised from the church, those who don't know Christ at all, have an opportunity to experience what grace looks like in action. I'm not much on predestination. I'm very big on foreknowledge. But there is one element of predestination in the Scripture I heartily endorse, and it says that God predestined us to good works. Now the question becomes, what good works do we do? Well, that's as varied as the grace that attends each one of us. But one of the things we committed to several years ago was trying to present a presentation of compassion, grace, and comfort to the homeless. And so next Sunday, we start our week of involvement with WARM. And we'll be hosting it down on St. George's Island at one of the little churches down there. And all we do is we show up with smiles and a servant spirit to help assist those who need to retreat from, thank God, not a bitterly cold winter, but one that keeps teasing us. Next Saturday is the last training day. We still have a need for several of us to book a time frame to be a part of that. I want to encourage you to let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It takes a little bit of your time, but it'll make a memory that'll last a lifetime. Oh, Tim's here and has reminded me there's an offering this morning. Come on, gentlemen. No, we've been doing an awful lot of good in an awful lot of places in the world. And we are still extending our hand of compassion and support to people who are actually viable in touching the world. We get to be a part of that. So we're so grateful for the spirit of generosity that's characterized this house for as long as I've been a part of it. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the kind and attentive care that you've brought to us, not only in allowing us to give out of our gratitude for what you have done, but to sow in faith for what you will do. We're so grateful for the way you've taught us over the years how to be stewards of our entire life journey so that we're freed up to follow your leadership at any moment, in any direction, for anything you would assign us. So I bless this household today, Father, and I thank you with genuine gratitude for the way you have sustained us, encouraged us throughout the years, and the hope we have of your faithfulness in the years to come. So I pray, Lord, that you will continue to move among us and to make a way forward in life, to help us see the long vision of transgenerational ministry through our entire family tree and the body of Christ collectively throughout the world. I honor you and I thank you for being faithful to us. I ask for increased revelation of who you are, that we might be better representatives of what you represent through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, some of you may know we were here Friday night and Saturday and Sunday, so welcome to a very full weekend in his on-the-job training, our next lead pastor, Pastor Jay.
Thank you very much. It has been a full full weekend for many of us here. And for those who don't know, about a week and a half ago, our very own Jane Majeski passed away. And that was it's been a trying time in particular for her family leading up to that. A lot of time at the hospital up in D.C., distance from home, all that. And you all did a wonderful job in supporting her family and her during that time with your prayers and with your practical help. So I commend you for that. If you weren't here this weekend, I just want to let you know there were a lot of people coming through this building honoring a woman whose life was committed to loving others and loving the Lord. And she leaves a wonderful legacy behind here. You know, I'd also just want to say thank you for everybody who helped out with each one of the aspects of the memorial services that we had here. We had prayers Friday night. We had lots of sharing. There was slideshows and sound and ushers and food and all of that. And many people gave in many ways to this event. So I just want to say thank you. You all served this family, served this community very well. Good job. Well, we've been talking about love around here for the past couple of weeks, and so I'm going to be talking about love as well. And Pastor Steve kicked us off a couple weeks ago talking about David and Mephibosheth, which is kind of, Mephibosheth is kind of a mouthful to say. But I loved what he shared about David and Mephibosheth and how David, the king, showed the heart of God and his love for everyone by bringing Mephibosheth into the king's table. The normal tendency when somebody comes to power in that culture is to eliminate the family of the person who was there before. But David's commitment to Jonathan initiated a promise that he would take care of his family, and the only surviving member was Mephibosheth. Pastor Steve did a great job talking about that. Go back and watch it if you missed it, because it's powerful. And he was talking about this man who had really been maimed by accident to having both of his feet lamed. And that's a very shameful place to be in that culture. And he went into hiding, and he was found in a place called Lo Debar. And I never knew what that meant. Pastor Steve shared that means no pasture. It's a place of isolation. And he'd been hidden there. Well, I dug into Mephibosheth's name and actually the names of those that of the household that he was found at. And to my surprise, Mephibosheth's name means exterminator of shame. Let that sink in a little bit. The exterminator of shame, who is named that way before he was ever maimed or anything like that, took that on, is hiding in a place, and the king restores him to his household and gives him a place forever there. And this is a man who's physically in a place of shame in that culture, but his name is exterminator of shame. Isn't it so like the enemy to try to eliminate him from what he's been named and called from before he was even born? That's so like what happens to us. But God gives us a place, and he allows him to be restored back to that place of honor. It's powerful. Thank you for sharing that story. That was powerful. Last week, Pastor Lanny talked about how love makes a choice. And he helped us reimage and reimagine the story of Adam sinning, making a choice to be with the one he loved, and how he is a type of Christ who came and made a choice to lower himself to be with the one that he loved, us, so that he could restore us back to our Father. It's pretty amazing. Love chooses to do things that don't seem natural, don't seem normal. And so we're going to go and talk some more about love today. If you brought your Bibles, you probably want to get them out. If you have a Bible app, you'll probably want to open it up, because we're going to get some cruising through the Bible today. I like to do this. You know, as we're reading through some of the scripture, the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to you things that I can't teach you, but he's going to teach you things, because that's what he does. And so you have access to the same Holy Spirit that I have access to. So just have your heart and your spirit open to what he's saying today about love, because it's powerful. We're going to go in John chapter 13. That's where we're going to start. I recommend to everyone here, read John chapter 13 through 17 in a single sitting. Because this is a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. It's the last major one that he really has with them. And it's important for you to see this whole thing in its entirety, because it is all about love. It's all about love. It's powerful. So the first verse here, John 13, 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now I'm going to stop here for a second, because we often don't understand what is being said in this final sentence here in verse 1. He now showed them the full extent of his love in this translation here, and that's actually a little bit closer to the meaning. When it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, it's really saying, having loved them, he loved them to the utmost. So this is a Hebrew type of terminology, type of phrase that has been translated into the Greek, almost literally, but it misses what is being said in Hebrew. It's like the dying, you will die. It's the you will surely do this thing. He surely loved them. So he loved them to the utmost, to the full extent. Now that's an important thing to recognize at the beginning of this conversation, because it's recognizing Jesus knows what is happening in season right now. I'm about to go to the cross, and I am full of love for those who follow me. My son Ben says, he would say it this way, he loved them all the way. So Jesus uses this opportunity to teach them how to express that love. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus is like an all-the-way type of guy. Never, you won't ever do it. Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. I'm now here as a parent. I think sometimes about how we tell our kids, well, if you don't eat that, you're not getting cake. I'm not sure that's what he was doing here, but that's what lights in me. So Peter says, then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Give me all my broccoli. I want all the cake. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson that your son taught his disciples 2,000 years ago. Lord, I thank you that the Word who was with you at the beginning humbled himself in the position of a servant to love those who you gave to him. I thank you for what he was teaching them there, and I ask that you would illuminate it in our hearts here today, Lord. I thank you. Let the words of my mouth, Lord, be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was not diminished in any way by humbling himself. He took on the form of a servant. In that culture, you've probably heard this, but in that culture, as you would come into a home, that was something that a servant would do. It was the lowest of low jobs, washing people's feet. People wore sandals in that time. They didn't have closed-toed shoes, and animals were aplenty. It was a dirty place to be walking around in. And so for someone to wash another's feet was not a clean job. But it was an important one in showing hospitality and service and care for someone who is your guest. Pretty warm, thank you, sir. Yeah, that's I'd say that's hot. Thank you. Done a lot of speaking this weekend, so I appreciate that. Jesus was showing them how to humble yourself. He was not diminished. In fact, because he knew who he was, because he knew where he was from, and because he knew he had all authority and everything was settled at this point, the only thing that he had to do at this point was go to the cross. From that position of strength, he chose, love chose, to serve those who were following him. Because he was starting something new, something fresh in what he was doing. Jesus led by example. And this is his greatest teaching to them. After Judas has been dismissed to go do his thing, we pick up in verse 31. We find this. It says, when he is gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Which meaning, this is coming soon. Time's at a close, folks. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. And then he says a very significant thing. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Our demonstrated love for one another is the mark of authenticity that we are followers of Christ. It's the mark of authenticity. It's more than the saying that we love each other. It's the actual loving of one another. It's the actual doing things that go beyond what the world would understand. The world understands, you know, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. The golden rule is something that's aplenty. But Jesus says, as I have loved you, that's how you're to love one another. You're to humble yourself to the lowest and esteem anybody else as greater than yourself and serve them and love them, care for them. Now, he goes on throughout the next chapter talking more about love, but he comes here in John chapter 15, verse 9. He starts up again. This isn't the only time he said, my command is this. He talks about it three times here. Three times in the same conversation, he's telling them this. So we'll go into the next two times. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. It's a simple command. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But Jesus is serious about it. He says it three times. I'd call that confirmation. I'm really serious about this. You got to love each other. You've really got to love each other. And as you read throughout the rest of the New Testament, you keep seeing the same thing coming up again and again and again and again and again. Love each other. Humble yourself. Take care of one another. So this is greater than love your neighbor as yourself, which Jesus had previously said, these are the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This sums up everything. But now he says, your new command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Also of note in here, in that verse 9, if we could pull it back up, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So let's roll this back a little bit. Jesus is telling us, as I have loved you, that's how you're supposed to love one another. By serving one another. He had just given them this picture, this demonstration of what that looks like. How to humble yourself and to take care of one another. And how to serve one another and love each other from that position with the towel and the basin. But he's saying here, as the Father has loved me, that's what I've been doing for you. God the Father has been taking care of him. You know, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave of himself, and he was not diminished in doing that. He shows his greatness by being able to do that. And Jesus shows his greatness by being able to do the same thing. In Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37, we have an interesting little, I'd say, prelude to Jesus' teaching here. It says, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest.
Oh.
Brothers like to do those sorts of things. No, I'm better. No, I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Just watch. It's going to be me. I'll be sitting at his right hand. They've been arguing about it. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last servant of all. He took a little child who he had placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me. Whoever welcomes me does not welcome you, but welcomes the one who sent me. He's talking about humility here. And it's funny that he does it right after they've been arguing about who's going to be the greatest. I would love to see how that conversation went. Jesus talks about how there's humility in love. And it's one of the primary things that we have to be able to see. Now, recall that in the body of Christ, we're to have unity. Preserved unity. Always preserving unity. And how does that happen? If we think that we're better than everybody else, or we've got a leg up on everybody because we've got better doctrine, or we've got better worship services, or we've got better whatever it is, we're missing the point. Because it's not about being greater than the other church across the street. It's not about being greater than our brother or sister. It's really about humbling ourselves. Considering others more worthy than ourselves. When pride gets in the way, we see division. When humility is in our hearts, it welcomes grace. It helps heal broken hearts. It helps heal fissures between peoples. It invites unity to take place. And it helps us to demonstrate the heart of our Father, love. Romans 12, we'll start in verse 3. So this is Paul, and he's talking about this very thing. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's 180 degrees away from what culture tells us to do. But that is love. In order to be able to do those things, like the Lord, we have to recognize who we are. We have to recognize that we're already in the Father's household. We're already His children. Our position in His family is secure. We have access to the same Holy Spirit that gave Him strength. He asks us to love, actually commands us to love the way He loves. But He knows that we have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit to supply that love to us. All He asks for is our willingness, our obedience to His command. And it is hard, but He provides the way to do it. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You all have gifts. You all have spiritual gifts. In Romans, he just talked about gifts that we have, and he says, if you have that gift, go do it excellently. Give it back to those who that are in the body. Do that. It's not for you to hold. It's for you to give away. And here he's saying, when you're exercising those gifts, the motivation has to be love. Otherwise, that whole thing burns up. But when you exercise those gifts in love, it brings forth life. It heals the brokenhearted. It binds up the wounded. It sets captives free. Hallelujah. Love serves others. It's not about what you experience in that. It's about what you give. And Jesus promised that when you did that, it was going to be a blessing. We'll go into Romans 13. Start in verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes. He just talked in here about how you're supposed to be submitted to authorities. He says, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. This year, we started sharing our vision statement. We want to see a hurting world healed. And we want to see people launched into their destiny. If we want to see a hurting world healed, then we can't be a place that brings hurting to others. We can't be a people that brings hurting to others. We have to be sold out to recognizing that God is us here to restore, to reconcile, to heal, to bind up, to free. The gifts that He has given you are to be shared. Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Well, that's an interesting clause at the end there, right? And I love what Pastor Lanny said a few moments ago. We learn to let our light shine here. With the body of believers, you get to exercise in a safe company the gifts that God has given you. You get to exercise those things so you get to learn how to use them. You learn how to shine here, but then you bring it out to where you're going. Might be important to recognize that we need to learn how to shine here by shining here. Otherwise, we're not doing the exercises that we need to go shine out there. Because that's really where the mission field is. This is the practice arena. This is the family. You learn how to love inside your family, and then you go and love the world. As He sends us, that's where we go. We learn to love through our actions. So as we have opportunity, we get to love each other. Pastor Lanny shared about WARM that's coming up. There's a lot of opportunity there for us to learn how to love and learn how to use the gifts that we have in practical, easy ways together as we minister to our community. I encourage you to go and sign up. I was just walking through there, and that's a fairly empty calendar out there. Please bring your gifts. This month of prayer and fasting has been rooted with love throughout it. If you look at the topics that we've put before you to pray and fast about, it's all rooted in love. First one that we've been praying for, that we'd see an increased manifest presence of the Holy Spirit here at our Father's house. The presence of the Holy Spirit comes when the people are in unity. We get unity when we're loving one another, when we're humbling ourselves, when we're not allowing divisions to show up. Love is at the base of that. Unity in the church in Southern Maryland comes when we love one another from a place of humility. Our flock isn't greater than anybody else's flock. It's all God's flock. Those are our brothers and sisters. Be praying for your brothers and sisters that you work with. As you're driving by other churches here in in the county. Just bless them. Just do a drive-by. Lord, bless them. Bless my brothers and sisters. Whatever challenges they're facing, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. You got the victory in that. Just bless them. God's blessings being poured out here in Southern Maryland is an expression of his love for all who live here. And he expresses that through the actions of his people as we release his blessings into the dynamic of the atmosphere of where we live. And love is the remedy for what divides us as a nation. Pride and arrogance keeps us from talking and respecting one another to hear one another's perspectives. The Holy Spirit has to change that, but he does that through his people here in the earth that are able to love and be humble in the conversations and whatever it is that we face to minister in the opposite spirit. There's a divisive spirit at work within our nation right now. We get to present the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So we talked about foot washing this morning. The spirit of this house has been the spirit of the towel and the basin for how long now? A long time. And it's going to continue here at our Father's house. The vision that the Lord is releasing among us is fueled by love. Everything is fueled by love. When Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and he says, you need to be grafted in me, you need to abide in me, apart from me, you can't even survive. Everything that's flowing from that vine through to the branches is love. It's all fueled by love. We can't love apart from him. So if we're not abiding in the vine, we wither up because we have to be rooted in love. And that love comes from the Father through Jesus to us. I am in you. You are in me. We are in him. Remain in me. Abide in me. How do you do that? By loving. You're letting his love flow through you. That's how you grow. It's like the sap in the vine. It's all love. And we get to do that. Today we're going to actually have a foot washing ceremony. Because we need to see what that looks like. Because that is the spirit of what God's doing here. Zaid, if you'll bring those elements forward, that would be great. I've asked Zaid to come and help me bring these up here. Yeah, don't hop up. It'll slosh around. Thank you. Put those down there, please. Yeah, right there. Thank you. A little space for the feet. There we go. All right. Thank you, Zaid. Zaid, will you stay up here, please? Here's your seat. Yes. Yes, Peter. I asked Eddie to help me. He didn't know the full extent of his help this morning. And that was intentional.
I would have put on some socks.
That's okay.
Wow.
Now, full disclosure here. Many of you know Zaid, but you may not know this about Zaid and I's relationship. This is one of my spiritual sons. I love this man. He and I have been walking in relationship for many years now, and I have such a high regard for who he is. He is dutiful. He and I have intimate conversations. He's allowed me a place of standing in his life that the Lord has used to build him up and strengthen him. Zaid will go into places that God cannot send me, but he can send my son to. Okay? So like Christ washing the disciples' feet, this is my disciple, one of them, a very intimate discipleship relationship here. I love him, okay? I get the honor of washing his feet today. So thank you, Zaid, for being vulnerable. Will you please remove your shoes?
This is not fair.
I know. Now, of course, this is a challenging place for him to be in, which is actually a pretty perfect picture of what the Lord does to us a lot of times. God puts us in situations we're not feeling like we're prepared for and calls us to things that are, I'm not sure I signed on for that this morning, but it's going to be a good blessing for both of us.
You know, I had a feeling.
Yeah, I didn't tell him whose feet I was going to wash.
Ice cold.
Take your foot. You know, when you wash someone's foot, you get intimately familiar with what these servants of ours look like. Our feet take us to many places. They support our weight. We beat them up. We kick them around. We kick things with them. And they get dirtied. Hey, he was good. Warm water. I know Zaid, and I know that he prepared this for someone else as he would have wanted to have been prepared for him, not knowing that it was prepared for him. The other thing about doing this is you think about how you would want another to care for you in this situation. Most of us still have our feet. And we think about how we would want that to be handled in the care of someone else. Put your feet right here. I'm going to take this opportunity to bless his feet as well. Okay. The heart of the Father recognizes that your ceiling should be the floor for your children. Your son should be able to stand on your shoulders and go much higher. You may or may not have heard this, but my father used to tell us, my father who's still alive, used to tell us that, he said, you're my arrows. And that's scriptural. And he would say, you're my arrows, and I get to launch you into the future. My job is to, and he would use these terms, to knock you into my war bow and fire you into the future. That's a a word picture for us that we have to recognize. God is going to bring those to you that it is your responsibility to raise up so that you can send them to where you never could go. It's our vision and our mission, our vision statement, to see a hurting world healed and to see people launched into their destiny. So I'm going to bless your feet for where the Lord is going to take you. Okay? Father, I thank you for the feet of this son. I thank you for all the places you have already taken him, Lord. And I thank you for all the places that you're going to send him. Lord, I ask that you would give him the lands that he walks in, that he would have authority there, Lord, to release your grace and to welcome your inheritance into those lands. I thank you, Father, for the authority that you're giving him, Lord, and the grace that is already growing and maturing in him, Lord. I thank you for the man that you have called him to be, Lord, humble in spirit, Lord, and full of grace and peace and truth. Lord, I ask that as he goes forward, we would see nations freed, Lord. We'd see people reclaimed to their destinies, Lord. We would see hurts healed, Lord. We would see broken hearts bound up. And Lord, we would see people restored to the fullness of stature of who they were called to be. I thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that as he extends his hands, Lord, you would release your grace to those who are ready to receive it. I thank you, Lord, and I bless him. In the name of Jesus, amen. Love you.
Your love changes me, man.
's for serving this morning. You don't have to get that. I'll get that. You can clap for him. That was a lot to do. This is the spirit of our Father's house. This is the spirit. We are here to serve one another in humility. No one is too great here. And no one here is too small to be cared for either. Our youngest here, our smallest ones, they are the future. And we have the opportunity to love them, to cherish them, to learn who they are, how God sees them, so that we can prepare them to be launched into the destiny that he has for them. And whatever glimpse and glimmer we get of what that is doesn't compare to what that full picture actually looks like. Let's pray. Please stand. Father, I thank you for your spirit that has been on deposit in this house these many decades, Lord, what you have worked in here. Father, we, many of us already own these things, but as you continue to add more people to us, Lord, let that spirit be imparted to them as well. Not only logically, Lord, not only in the mind, but in practice and in heart, Lord, let it be felt, let it be experienced here. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the way maker and that you came and made a way for us. That you continued to humble yourself, Lord, to penetrate down to the deepest depths of darkness, Lord, so that you could shine your light there. I thank you. Lord, I bless your people. I thank you for what you have for us in the future, Lord. I thank you for what you're working into us right now. And I ask for your grace to be attentive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have anything? Okay. Now, as you leave this morning,